they're not embarrassed at all. One of them's less embarrassed than the other one. Isn't that true? Y'all turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. We're in the prophetic books of Christ. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and his disciples asked him the question. They said, how shall we know when the coming of the Son of Man shall be? And what they meant was, how shall we know the coming of the Messiah? How shall we know what the end of days are? How shall we know these things? And today for a responsive reading, does everybody have a responsive reading? If you don't raise your hand, it will give one to you. All right. We're going to read responsive out of Matthew 24, verses 35 through 39. Matthew 24, verses 35 through 39. And these are the words of Jesus. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
But as they know the word, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and knew not whether the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Jesus starts out by saying that heaven and earth shall pass away. Now, he's not talking about the heaven where God is. That will never pass away. But as he looked around the world and as he spoke to his disciples, he said, everything you see right now, it shall pass away. It's not permanent. But God is permanent. And then he started to tell his disciples this. He said, here's how you'll know the coming of the Son of Man. Now, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to claim the earth as his own. He's going to take his church off of this earth, an event we call the rapture. He's going to take all of those believers who still receive him as Lord and Savior, and he's going to take them up, and we're going to go to a better place. But the Bible tells us, and if you read Matthew 24 and 25, there's going to be 7 years of terrible tribulation on the earth. God will judge the sin that's on the earth. Well, Jesus wanted people to understand, and he wants us to understand, that when Jesus comes, it's like the days of Noah. He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I want to break that down today, what that means. As the days of Noah were. What were the days of Noah? Jesus talks about Noah. You know, everybody's seen the pictures of Noah and his ark. If you've got a handout, you've got that neat little cartoon picture. It's on nurseries all over America. Has Noah with a smiling face, and has the animals with their little heads poking out, the giraffe poking out, the elephant's trunk coming out. Everybody's having a good time. And they're having a blessed time. And it's a happy time. And that's what we show the kids in the nursery. But what was the days of Noah? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, that in the days of Noah, people had forgotten God.
Amen.
They had gotten far away from God. Jesus says, as in the days of Noah, he says, before the flood. The days of Noah was before the flood. Noah was someone who loved the Lord. But it seemed like the rest of the world did not know God and did not care for God. God made us. And God loves us. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, God loves you. And tell him that. God does love you.
Amen.
And we're not animals. We're not animals. We're created in the image of God. Everything that we've done because God has made us that way. You know, we have done some fantastic things as humans. We discovered fire. We didn't really discover it. God showed it to us.
Right.
But we've learned how to harness fire. And then once we harnessed fire, we did different things with fire. Now we've got explosives and nuclear weapons. Sometimes I think we don't know where to stop.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. And we do all these things. We've got, in my lifetime, I've seen the record go to the CD, go to the DVD, and now we're into digital now. And nobody buys anything anymore. You just download it from the internet. Everything has come through our technology. We're technologically smart now. All of our cars have computers in it. All these things. We've got all this technology. And we've grown in knowledge and we've grown in power. But it's not because we are gods, but because God is God. You see, God made us in His image and in His likeness. An ape will fish up something out of a log and eat it, a termite. And scientists will say, look, that animal's made using a tool. That's not a tool. When I see a monkey pull a termite out of a log and put it on a hot point range and cook it, then that's when I know the monkey is evolving. But let me tell you something. You were made in the image of God. God made you the way you are. Amen. And He made you with the ability to learn. But you're not God, and I'm not God.
Amen.
Amen. God said this. He said before the mountains were brought forth and before He ever formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, God is God. In the days of Noah, people did great things. The Bible says there were giants in the land. We've had all kinds of giants. We've had all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of things. What else was in the land that day? People were marrying and giving in marriage. Now, that's a nice thing. Not too long ago, I did a marriage, and I thought that was wonderful. Amen. I always like to do marriages. But let me tell you, people were marrying and they were giving in marriage in those days. Jesus said they were coming together. They were doing things. They were eating and drinking. Who doesn't like to eat and drink?
Amen.
But you know what they were doing? They were doing all this apart from God. And things started getting worse and worse. Our nation is getting worse and worse. Because we're doing things apart from God. So one day God came to a man by the name of Noah. How do I know that Noah exists? Because my Jesus said He exists.
Right.
He said, as the days of Noah were. Jesus said there was a man by the name of Noah. And before the flood, God came to Noah and He told Noah this. He said, Noah. And Noah spoke to God and God spoke to Noah. And He said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And I want you to make it to my specifications. And I want you to build it exactly that way. And Noah didn't change a thing. He did it exactly the way that God told him to do it. He spent 120 years building an ark.
Amen.
Man, that's a long time to be building an ark. Every day that Noah worked on the ark, people came by to see him. Noah, you're never going to get this boat in the water. You built it far away from the water. Noah, you're making this thing too big. Who do you expect to carry on this ark, Noah? Noah said, God told me how big to make it, how wide to make it, and God made that ark big enough to carry as many people as possible to get on that ark. You see, the ark was an example of God's grace. As Noah built, people saw the ark. There were visitors to the ark. People come in and did tours on the ark. I hear there's an ark somewhere where you can go and see it. Well, that's what people did. Then they walked through, they toured, they saw it. They looked at the ark. They said, oh, Noah, this is pretty nice, but you know, you should put more windows in this place. You need to modify it. You need to change it. You need to make it more acceptable for us. But Noah kept building the ark exactly the way God told him to build it. The Bible tells us that one day God looked and God said, Noah, it's time for you to get in the ark. Nobody knew when Noah was going to get in the ark, but God told him to get in the ark. Jesus said, just like the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What does that mean? Why was there a flood? There was a flood because God judges sin. God judges sin.
Amen.
And God is the judge of sin. I was going to do this with the kids this morning, but I couldn't do it because I had my little actor there. But God is the judge of sin. You know, when I was young, I thought I knew everything.
Amen.
I thought I could make things around the house. I went and bought me a tape measure. How many of y'all got a tape measure?
Amen.
Have y'all ever noticed the end of that tape measure moves?
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice that? When I bought my tape measure, I got it home. I said, this thing is broke. The end of this thing moves. So I got my hammer out and I set the pins on the end of it. And I stopped the end of that tape measure moving. But I noticed something. Everything I built with that tape measure, it came out crooked. It came out wrong. You know why the end of that tape measure moves? Because that little piece on the end has thickness. And whenever you pull on that tape measure, that end of that tape measure moves to compensate for the thickness of that end. When you push on that tape measure, it moves back in to compensate for the thickness. That way you'll always measure true with that tape measure. Well, I came in there with a hammer, and I set that tape measure. And I made it the way I thought it should have been. How many of y'all learned something today? Y'all didn't know that? But it's true. And you say, well, what difference does that make? I noticed everything that I built was just a little bit off. I would get to the end of it, and there'd be a crack there at the end of it, depending on how big you make it. If you're a little bit off at the beginning, you'll be a lot off at the end.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. And when I said it the way I thought it should have been said, I was way off at the end. Amen. That's the way we have become with God. God is the one who sets morals.
Amen.
God is the one who sets the standard. God's the one who says this is the way it should be and that's the way it should be. And God in His Word tells us what is right and what is wrong. We come along and we say, God must have made that wrong. And we get out a hammer of a human judgment. And we beat on it. And we twist it. And we turn it around and we say, I'm going to make it the way I want to. And then we look back over our lives and we go, why is my marriage falling apart? Could it be because you set the pins on what God has said? You say, why are my children running wild? Could it be because you're not doing what God has said? Why is my business not prospering? Could it be because you've left God out of your business? Why can't I get ahead in this life? Why am I always down? Could it be because you're not looking up? You see, God tells us, He says, I set the standards, and God judges sin. And God judges sin not because God's a big old meanie, but because God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. You know, Jerry, I love that song you did this morning. Jerry always sends me things about what he's going to do. And this week he sent me and he said, and when it comes to the special, all I got was Faces. And I was like, what group is Faces? I didn't know what you were talking about. But when I heard it this morning, I was like, that's so good. But those faces that will be in heaven one day will be the faces of those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and given themselves to Him. The faces of those that are going to be in that glorious place called paradise are those who get on the ark that is the cross of Christ. Amen. When you receive what Jesus has done for you and you go through the door that is Jesus and you say, Lord, I receive you as you are, then what you do is you get on that ark and you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You see, I don't know when I'm going to die and you don't know when you're going to die. And we don't know when Jesus is going to come. But I know this, that if we're with Jesus and we receive Jesus, then, beloved, we'll be all right no matter
Amen.
What comes.
That's right.
That's the best thing of all, is to be prepared to be with Jesus. You know, when Noah started building that ark, he had his family around him, and he brought them close to that ark. And the Bible says that when they got on that ark, when God told Noah, Noah, you get on the ark, he turned and looked at his family and said, y'all need to get on the ark. And the family got on the ark. And then God closed the door.
Amen.
There's going to come a day when God will close the door.
That's right.
It's going to happen. So many people say, well, I can wait till later. You know, I think about all those people that came to see Noah as he was building this ark, this monstrosity in the middle of nowhere. And as they looked at him, you had people touring through there, and there was people going through, and some of them were looking at Noah like he was kind of crazy, kind of like some of y'all look at me sometimes. Did he really say that? And they looked at Noah, and Noah's like, I'm building this ark because we got to get on it. And people looking at him funny and laughing at him. Some people walk off and go, yeah, that Noah, he's a good old fella, but I think he's a couple of bricks short of a load. He's building this big old ark. And there's no water anywhere near it. We can't get a team of horses to pull it down to where the river is. And every day Noah told him this. He said, today is the day you need to repent. Today is the day you need to get on the ark. Today is the day you've got to stop living for yourselves and start living for God again.
Amen.
And every day he said that. And people walked through there, and there were some people that listened to him and said, you know, I think Noah is probably right. But you know, I've got some more living I want to do. I've got some other things I want to do first. I'm going to do my stuff first. And then when I'm old and gray, and I've sowed all my wild oats, then I'll get on that ark. And then one day, the first raindrop fell. And the people who were waiting to get on that ark, it started raining. They said, you know, we need to get to that ark right now. And they ran to the ark, and the door was shut. The door was shut. And they couldn't get on the ark.
Amen.
Because God shut the door. And the reason God shut the door is not because he hated the world, but because he loved those that were on the ark. You see, if you give your life to God, God wraps his hand around you and he protects you. And nothing comes to you unless God allows it to come to you. That gives me so much comfort.
Amen.
The greatest thing is to be in the hand of God. To trust God with your life. To say, Lord, I trust you as my Lord and Savior. And to quit trying to be God. Just let God be God. When you let God be God, then God will bless you really good. God will bless you more than you can imagine. The rain started falling and people went to the door of the ark and they tried to get in. Some probably tried to crawl up. Some went out and got some ropes and said, let's get a grappling hook. Let's throw it over the top. Let's see if we can't get there. But there was but one door into the ark. And can I tell you this? Jesus said, there's but one door unto the blessings of God. He said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He said, no man comes unto God the Father but by me. So you can't get in the ark unless you go through the door that God has made. And today is the day to go.
Amen.
Today is the day to go. Jesus said, they didn't know in verse 39 until the flood came. And he says, and it took them all away. What does that mean? All those who rejected the ark were taken away by the flood. That's a horrible time. People talk about the fossil records. The reason we got fossil records is because there was a worldwide flood.
That's right.
And it covered up all that stuff, and that's where the fossil records come from. God flooded the world. But there were eight on the ark, and they were taken away from the judgment because they were on the ark. And can I tell you this? If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not have to stand under the judgment of God for sin. Your works will be judged one day. God's going to watch your works and he's going to judge those. The Bible says there will be a judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that God will look at what you've done for him. But God will not put you under judgment as a sinner. Because you're on the ark.
Amen.
And because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Everybody was taken away. And you know one thing I noticed about the ark is Jesus said, he said it's going to be like the ark. There were a lot of people that died because they were not on the ark. But there was a tiny number that were saved. In the history of the world, when we get to heaven, the Bible says that John the Revelator looked across heaven and he saw a vast number of people. He said, I couldn't number them. It's a bunch of people. Well, when you compare all those who get on the ark to all those who could have got on the ark, it's a very small number. You see, God gave his son for everyone. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave Jesus for everyone. But in order to receive Jesus, you've got to get on the ark. You've got to go away from the world. People say, well, I don't want to do that. Everybody's looking today. I don't want to get up and walk forward. I don't want to stand up for Jesus. I want to be part of the crowd. You can be part of the crowd. But when the flood came, he took them all away.
Amen.
I want to be part of that number on the ark. I want to be part of that number that said yes to Jesus, that walked through the door. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus is coming again. When Jesus comes again, when he comes knocking at your door, are you on the ark?
Amen.
Or are you waiting to get on the ark? Today is the day to get on the ark. Today is the day to call on the name of Jesus. I want to end with this. Romans 3:21-25. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, listen to this, unto all and upon all who believe. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everywhere I look, I see sinners.
Amen.
Every person I look at is a sinner.
That's right.
The person you look at right now is a sinner. All of us fall short of the glory of God. What is my hope? The Bible says this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth to be the satisfactory payment through faith in his blood. God says this. He said the ark is Christ. If you're in Jesus, you're on the ark. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And if you're not, promote Jesus to everyone you see. No one deserves to be on the ark, but God made it available for everyone. Amen. Isn't God good?
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Jerry, come lead us in a final hymn.
Turn with me to number 447. 447.
About Jesus. What a wonderful Savior we have. I'm going to ask my brother Billy Benefield, if you will, close us in prayer.